Welcome, listener. Tonight's tale is not one of sharp screams or sudden ends. It's slower than that. Older. It's about the quiet things that live behind silence. The weight of being watched by something that doesn't blink. And what happens when your name no longer belongs to you. We'll walk into a forest tonight. One with no map, no stars overhead, and no way back once the path disappears. At its heart is a fire that never dies, a voice that remembers every ranger it has ever worn. So stoke the coals, keep your eyes on the flame, and whatever you do, don't listen if it calls in your voice. This is Welcome to Firewatch 66. Let the story begin. They didn't give me a name, not of the ranger, not of the station, just a coded message in my inbox. Report to Firewatch 66, orientation provided on arrival. There was a location, not an address, just GPS coordinates in the middle of a mountain range I didn't know existed until I plugged them in. No road led all the way there. The closest town was little more than a closed gas station and a bar that hadn't opened in years. The trail ahead had no sign, just a rusted chain looped around two old wooden posts. Someone had carved a small symbol into one of them, a tree split clean down the center, burned in deep with something dark smeared around the edges. I told myself it was moss. 5 hours later, I was still climbing. The GPS gave up. My phone hadn't had signal since the motel I left that morning. I followed trail markers, though they weren't like any I'd seen before. No paint, no plastic ribbons. Bones. Wired to the trees in patterns. Some bleached white. Others still brown with rot. Each marked a turn, a fork, or a passable stream. There were too many to be a joke. When I reached the station, it didn't look like anyone had worked there in years. The tower leaned. It looked like it might slide off its foundation the next time the wind blew hard enough. The stairs to the top platform were gone, rotted or torn away. Below it was a square wooden cabin, windowless, covered in mold. The whole thing sagged. But the fire was already lit. A ring of scorched stones in the clearing. Black logs stacked carefully, smoke curling up into the still air. And beside it, a man. A ranger, I guessed. Wearing the uniform. But the colors were faded. The patch on his shoulder was unrecognizable, a tree split by a jagged vertical line. He was crouched by the fire, poking it with a long iron rod. He didn't look up when I approached. He never told me his name, never asked for mine. We just sat there on opposite sides of the fire as night fell like a drop cloth over the clearing. When the sun disappeared, I realized I hadn't heard a single bird call since I arrived. No insects, no wind, just the crackling fire and the man beside it. At some point, I asked him how long he'd been stationed here. He didn't answer. His eyes reflected the fire, but the rest of him didn't move, not even to blink. Eventually, I slept beside the fire. He stayed awake all night. I woke up once to find him still sitting there, same posture, same empty stare, and the woods behind him. They looked closer than they had when the sun set. By morning, the fire had burned down to the coals, but they were still warm, still pulsing like a second heartbeat under the ash. The ranger was gone. Not far, I assumed. His sleeping bag was still laid out beside the ring of stones. But it looked undisturbed, almost staged, like no one had ever actually slept in it. There was no coffee, no breakfast, no camp stove, just silence and a circle of embers quietly inhaling the cold morning air. I waited for an hour. No sign of him, no footprint either. I circled the edge of the clearing twice, careful not to go too far. The trees looked different in daylight. They stood straighter than any trees I'd seen before, spaced too evenly, as if they'd been planted by something that didn't quite understand forests, only geometry. I went back to the fire, sat. The warmth had sunk into the dirt. It felt like something breathing just beneath the surface. Around noon, the fire relit itself. I don't know how else to describe it. There was no wind, no spark, no flint. One, the logs blackened and dead, simply caught. Orange light spread through its cracks like veins waking up. Flames licked upward, slow and soundless. I stood quickly. The forest didn't move, but it noticed. That's the only way I can put it. There was a change, barely perceptible. Like 1,000 unseen eyes, blinking open in perfect silence. I wasn't alone anymore. The fire grew, crackled louder than it should have. Wood doesn't usually scream when it burns, but this one did. I backed away. Then I heard it, a soft whisper. Not from the fire, not from the trees, but around me. A thin voice, scattered, echoing in ways that didn't make sense, like someone whispering in my own ears while I was underwater. It didn't say words, not at first, just texture. Breath shaped like meaning. Then slowly, close. No. I turned. No one. The fire burned steady. Too steady. There was no smoke. I didn't see the ranger again until just before sunset. He appeared at the edge of the clearing, not walking out from the trees, becoming visible like my brain had just remembered to see him. One moment he wasn't there, and the next he was. He didn't speak, just nodded once, slowly, and walked past me to the fire. He sat exactly where he had the night before, legs folded, hands resting loosely on his knees, motionless. I asked him where he'd gone. He didn't answer. That night, I stared into the fire longer than I meant to. It was mesmerizing. Not beautiful, not warm, wrong. There was a shape at the center, something the flame couldn't seem to burn, or maybe something that was burning, but in reverse. A core of dark, writhing color that flickered against the light. It drew my eyes. Every time I blinked, I lost track of time. The fire seemed to grow taller with each glance. Eventually, I felt it, a soft pressure behind my eyes, a sense of being pulled inward. I could almost hear it whispering, not in sound, but in feeling, like guilt, like hunger, like memory. The fire cracked loud, a whip of sound that snapped me out of it. The ranger was staring at me now. No expression, no judgment, just watching. Like the fire had passed me back to him. And he was checking what it left behind. It didn't sleep much that night. The woods were louder. Not with animals, not with wind, but with movement. Things pacing just beyond the light. Dry leaves being crushed by hands, not feet. I closed my eyes and tried to remember the last normal place I'd been. It already felt like a lie. In the morning, the fire was out, but the shape at its center was still there, just darker. The ranger didn't speak, but I knew I was supposed to follow him. He stood just before dawn, quietly slinging his pack over one shoulder, then walking toward a gap in the trees I hadn't noticed before. His movements were smooth, but strange, like each step had already happened, and he was just catching up to it. I hesitated. The fire behind me was still dimly glowing, its warmth pulsed across my back like a warning. I followed anyway. The trail he took was narrow and winding, not a path carved by feet, but by something dragging itself slowly over years. Moss clung to the sides of trees in thick veins, and the canopy overhead formed unnatural shapes for a long stretch. I couldn't even see the sky. Just grey-green light that looked borrowed from underwater. After half a mile, we passed the first bone charm. It hung from a black branch high above us, bleached vertebrae strung with red thread, swaying in the wind that I couldn't feel. It didn't make a sound, no clicking, no chime. It wasn't for noise, it was for something else I can't put my finger on. The ranger paused there. He looked up, tilted his head, waited, then moved on. I started seeing more of them, bones of all kinds, birds, deer, something long and thin like a child's arm, suspended above our heads, tied between trees and loose grids. Some were old and dry, others looked fresher. One had a bit of cloth still attached, a blue corner of what might have been a shirt. The air felt heavier beneath each one, like gravity was thicker, like I was walking through water instead of air. Every time we passed beneath a charm, I felt something pass through me, like walking through a spider web made of memory. He led me to a clearing much smaller than the one by the tower. At the center stood a tree. It had no bark, just polished black wood, smothered like glass. No branches, no leaves, just a straight, dead trunk ending in a jagged splinter that reached toward the sky. At its base was a ring of stones, like the fire pit back at the station, but instead of ash, the center was filled with teeth. Hundreds of them. Human, animal, some broken, some baby-sized. The ranger stood beside the tree, unmoving. I stepped to the edge of the ring. I didn't dare cross it. On the walk back, we passed something carved into the side of a pine. An open eye with roots growing out of it. Something had scratched through it dozens of times, again and again, until the wood bled sap down its rivets. It looked like it was crying. There were no words beneath it, just scratches, hundreds of them, too precise to be animal, too desperate to be art. We reached the clearing again near dusk. The fire had reignited itself once more. The logs hadn't been touched, but flame curled lazily upward as if someone had tended it. The ranger sat. I sat. I didn't ask where we'd been. I didn't ask why the bones were there, or the tree, or the teeth. I already knew the answer, even if I couldn't say it out aloud. They weren't protecting us from the forest. They were protecting the forest from something inside it. Or maybe the other way around. That night, I woke to find a charm hanging above my sleeping bag. It hadn't been there before. It spun gently, even though the air was still. One of the bones had writing on it, though. Scratched so lightly, I almost missed it. Four words. You are inside it. The ranger was gone when I woke up. Not his usual gone, that silent wandering he did like he was on a loop. This time, everything of his was gone. Sleeping bag, pack, the strange fire poker he always carried. No footprints, not even a depression in the pine needles, just absence. The fire burned low, steady, as if nothing had changed, but the clearing felt wrong. I didn't notice at first. It's hard to describe what wrongness feels like until it starts to whisper. I tried to stay close to the fire that morning, but something kept drawing me away. Not physically, mentally. I kept finding myself looking toward the trees, expecting to see him there, expecting to hear the faint crunch of boots on undergrowth. But the forest was still. Then I heard my name. Not loudly, not even from a distance. It came from just over my left shoulder, so close it stirred the hair on my neck. Hey. Just that. My name and hey. I turned. No one. The voice sounded like mine. Not close. Exact. Not how I think I sound, but how I hear myself on old voicemail messages. Slightly higher pitched, hesitant. A tone I'd forgotten I used. The second time it came, it was further away. Behind the trees. Same voice, same quiet tone, like it was embarrassed to be heard. I think you left something out here. I didn't move. It spoke again. It's cold. You should come get it. I stayed by the fire until dusk. Didn't eat, barely drank. My canteen had a layer of something slick inside it. The water tasted like bark and pennies. The voice came and went all day. Sometimes it was me. Sometimes it was my mother. She died 3 years ago, but the voice it used was from my childhood. Soft, tired, trying not to cry. It's okay, sweetheart. I'm just lost. I just need help. Sometimes it was no one I knew. A woman, young, laughing quietly. A man muttering Bible verses I never learned. A child, always just out of view, breathing hard, like it had been running for hours. They never screamed. They never shouted. Just waited. That night, the fire burned without wood. No one had fed it. I hadn't touched it. But it stood tall. Flickering in slow rhythm, it cast light but no heat. I saw the shadows of the trees stretching long across the clearing, and then I saw a fifth shadow. It didn't move with the firelight, it moved on its own, jerky, puppet-like. It stood behind me, and then it spoke again. You're not supposed to be here. I left the clearing. Not far, just enough to see where the voices were coming from. The bones on the tree branches above me began to hum, a low vibration, felt in the teeth, not the ears. The hum was in sync with my heartbeat. Every time it pulsed, the voice came again. You've been here longer than you remember. You left something behind. It's wearing your name now. I found a tree I didn't recognize. It was covered in writing, thousands of scratches, shallow and frantic. Not carved with a knife, with fingernails. The marks ran in long, spiraling loops around the base, into the roots, up the trunk, around and around. As high as the eye could see. I followed the path with my hand, one loop at a time. Then I noticed some of the words weren't scratches. They were letters, carved deep. My handwriting. I ran back to the clearing. The fire was gone. Not just out, gone. No stones, no ash. Just a smooth circle of dirt, as if nothing had ever been there. The only thing in its place was the tape recorder. Old metal, dent in the corner. The play button was jammed in. It whirred quietly, then played a voice. Mine. You're getting close. Don't stop. Now. You're almost ready. That night, I dreamed I was in the fire. Not burning, but coming. Everything felt warm and bright. I was stretched like bark across the surface of the world. I could see every tree, every trail, every person who ever entered the forest. I felt them, and they all felt like me. I woke up with ash in my mouth. The fire was burning again. The ranger was sitting across from me. His face was wrong. His smile so wide. The tower wasn't there the day before. When I woke up, it stood over the clearing like it had always belonged, tall enough to pierce the low-hanging mist, with stairs that vanished into clouds above the treetops. I knew it was the old Firewatch Tower. Same rotted wood, same rusted steel, but it had changed. Stretched, warped. No birds perched on it, no wind touched it. It just stood there, as if the forest had grown it overnight. The ranger stood at the base, his head tilted toward the sky. He didn't speak, and I followed him. The steps creaked under my weight. They didn't under his. Each plank flexed like muscle, damp with moisture that smelled like sap and rot and copper. I climbed. Level 1 was a kitchen. Not mine, but it felt familiar. Cabinets with scuffed corners, a fridge covered in magnets shaped like national parks, a loaf of bread left open on the counter. On the table, a photo. It showed me, smiling, younger, eyes clear, sitting beside a woman I couldn't name. In the photo, I was wearing the ranger uniform. On the back of the photo was a word carved with a knife. Remember. The lights buzzed overhead. The ranger moved on. Level 2 was a hospital hallway. Long, narrow, green linoleum. All the lights were out except the one above, a single room at the end. The door was open. Inside, a bed. The same woman from the photo, now older, tubes in her arm, mouth open but no sound. I stood in the doorway and watched her breathe. The ranger didn't stop. I kept climbing. Level 3 was my apartment. Not decorated the way I remembered, sparse, too neat. A record playing nothing but static. On the coffee table, a ranger's badge, cracked down the middle. On the wall was a map. Firewatch station across the region, all blacked out. All except 66. Its pin was bent, as if someone had pressed down too hard, trying to force it through the paper. The ranger moved without looking back. The air was thinner now. Level 4 was a hallway made of mirrors, not reflecting the real world. They showed different versions of me, hunched, limping, stretched down the center. In one, I was covered in moss. In another, my eyes were pine cones. In another, I had no mouth, just a hollow where my face should be. They moved out of sync with me. Some of them didn't move at all. One of them waved. I didn't. The stairs spiraled tighter above that. Each step felt like it took an hour. The ranger climbed effortlessly, and he never looked down. The final level was the top of the tower, or what was supposed to be. There was no room, no railing, just a narrow platform floating above the tree line, surrounded by fog that blinked like a pulse. The sky wasn't grey anymore. It was flesh-coloured. Veined, trembling. At the center of the platform, the fire, burning even though there was no fuel, no wind, just a steady flame in the shape of a human figure. It turned to face me. it was me. Burning slowly, smiling gently, no pain, just warmth. The ranger stood beside it. He removed his hat, and his head caved in. No blood, not bone, just bark and ash crumbling away, revealing a face underneath. Mine. The burning version of me stepped forward. Its mouth did not move, but I heard it clearly. You've been feeding me every night, every time. You stare too long every time. You forget where you are. You were always meant to return. The ranger's body peeled open like a coat. Inside, roots, bones, teeth wired together like wind chimes. The wind picked up and they hummed the same voice I'd heard for days. Mine. I tried to scream. Nothing came out. The fire stepped inside me. I woke up at the bottom of the tower. No pain, just heat. My fingers twitched in patterns I didn't recognize. My breath came in waves, not lungs, not air. Something else moved through me now. The ranger was gone. Only his badge remained buried halfway in the dirt. It had my name on it. I never gave anyone my name. Something came down the tower with me. I didn't realize it at first. Thought it was just the residual nausea, a side effect of climbing something that shouldn't exist and looking down in a forest that had no top or bottom. But it followed me. At first, just footsteps mimicking mine. Every step I stopped, they stopped. Every time I turned, I caught a glimpse of movement slipping just out of view. A shoulder, the edge of a boot, a hint of a ranger's hat, always mine, always wrong. Back in the clearing, the fire was burning again. Still no wood, still no smoke, just heatless light pulsing in the pit like a lantern made of memory. I sat beside it and waited for something, for him, for a voice. Instead, I saw myself walk out of the trees. He was identical down to the boots, down to the bloodstain on the sleeve I didn't remember getting. He didn't approach, just stood at the edge of the firelight, unmoving, watching. I didn't sleep that night, not out of fear that had dulled. It was something worse now, a kind of anticipation, like I was waiting to be called forward. Something under my skin began to itch, not on the surface, deep, under the meat. Behind the nerves, like there was a second skeleton trying to stretch. When I finally closed my eyes, I saw the mirror tower again, but this time I was looking out from its top. I could see the forest spread in every direction, like a cancer growing without end, pulsing in time with my breath. And just below, at the base of the tower, I saw myself looking up. The next morning, the bones in the trees had rearranged. They weren't chimes anymore, they were letters, forming words. I walked the perimeter and read them in order like signs left behind someone running out of time. You are not a person. You are a place, and you have been entered. I vomited behind the cabin. My bile was black. It smelled like smoke. When I stood up, my shadow didn't match me anymore. It had started to lean in the other direction. That day, I caught the other me at the edge of the clearing again. He didn't move, but this time his face was wrong. Not alien, not monstrous. Blank, like a mask waiting to be filled in. And slowly, as I stared, it started to become me, piece by piece. Smile first, then eyes, then breath. At twilight, I walked to the boundary. I crossed it. The bones hummed as I passed under. They didn't resist me. They welcomed. The woods beyond weren't woods, not anymore. The trees were close together, but wrong. Too soft. Their trunks pulsed like veins. Their bark bled when I brushed against it. I saw things hanging between them, bits of clothing, hair, entire sleeping bags, folded human shapes that never moved. The air grew thick, wet, sweet, and then I heard footsteps behind me. But I didn't turn around, I didn't have to. I knew it was him. The other me stepped beside me. We stood shoulder to shoulder, no wind, no sound, just us, two people with the same eyes. He reached out and handed me something, a tooth, mine. I don't remember losing it, but I felt the gap when I ran my tongue along the back of my mouth. I nodded, he nodded back, then walked into the forest and vanished. When I returned to the clearing, there were two fires burning, one where it always was and one beside it. Slightly smaller, still forming, still becoming. That night I spoke aloud for the first time in days. I didn't know what I said, but when I was done, the second fire burned brighter, like it understood me. It started in the dirt. Just after midnight, as the fire dimmed to embers and the second fire flickered beside it, the soil at the center of the clearing shifted, not much, not dramatically, just a gentle flex. The same way skin pulls when something moves underneath it. I stepped back instinctively. The ground kept rising, not swelling, breathing. There was no sound, no cracking earth, no rumble, just a slow parting like a zipper being undone in the flesh of the world. At the center of the clearing, something opened, not a hole, a seam. The air bent. Colors ran wrong. The trees leaned inward in perfect symmetry. The firelight twisted as if repelled, and my eyes burned just looking at it. Not from brightness, but from the brain-sick sensation that something inside me had just split as well. And then I saw him, the ranger. He stepped from the seam as if he'd never left. Not walking, exiting. But the body that emerged wasn't entirely his. The figure was taller, stretched, draped in the ranger's uniform but sagging at the joints. The hat covered a face that no longer fitted. The skin hung too loose at the mouth, too tight around the eyes, and beneath the open collar of his shirt, bark had begun to grow up his neck and down his chest. His boots left no print in the dirt, and where he passed, the fire leaned away. He walked to the first fire, then slowly turned to me. The hat fell, and I saw what had taken root beneath. The ranger's head was split down the center, top to bottom. A clean, vertical parting like two halves of a seed pod. Inside, instead of bone or brain, there were teeth, dozens of them, not set in a mouth, just growing, random, useless, ancient. Between them, a voice, my voice. It didn't speak in words, it played them, like recordings from 100 mouths, all saying the same thing out of sync. I watched you arrive, I watched you sleep, I watched you open. Behind him, the seam continued to widen, a blackness so complete, the stars above it blinked out. Inside it, movement, not shape, not silhouette, just motion. Rhythmic, hungry, wrong. The ranger's arms unfolded, literally. Elbows splitting, hands stretching. He stepped towards me, my knees locked. The air around me rippled like water under pressure. Then he stopped, close enough for me to see the moss growing inside his eyes. He raised one hand and pointed to my chest. Not a threat, a gesture, a mirror. I looked down. My sternum was open. Not bloody, not wounded, split. And inside, a second fire. Small, flickering, alive. The ranger stepped forward. He reached into me. No pain, just heat. He cradled the flame and lifted it from my chest like it was a fragile, newborn thing. He raised it above his head, and the trees bent backward. The seam behind him closed, not with violence, but with choice. He placed the first fire back into me. Only now, it was bigger. I felt it spread through my limbs, up my spine, behind my teeth. It wasn't warm anymore. It was watching. The ranger began to crumble, not all at once, just at the edges. His hands turned to ash, fingers first. His boots split open, bark split from flesh. His chest peeled outward like wet paper, and from inside, something looked out. Not eyes, my face. He smiled. I smiled back. He collapsed into cinders, and the clearing went silent. Only one fire remained now. Mine. The fire never goes out now. Not even when I smother it with dirt. Not even when it rains. Not even when I step into it. It just burns. Quiet. Patient. Like it knows it has all the time in the world. Because it does. Because I do. The ranger is gone, but not absent. I feel him moving when I walk too far from the fire. I hear him in the trees, not speaking, just shifting. A presence I can no longer separate from my own. Sometimes I see his outline in the smoke, studying me. Other times I see my own. I don't remember my name anymore, not fully. I remember how it sounded in other people's mouths. I remember how it felt when I signed it on government forms. But it's like a word in a language I no longer speak. Now I'm just the ranger. It fits better than it should. The uniform doesn't itch anymore. The seams don't pull. I stopped checking the calendar on the cabin wall. The pencil marks ran out. The numbers began to repeat. One morning it said August the 1st again. Like I'd just arrived. Like I'd never left. The bones in the trees hum softly each night. Not warnings, welcomes, invitations. They spin even when there's no wind. Sometimes they rearrange into phrases I can't understand. Sometimes they just say, soon. And then today, just before dusk, I felt it. A tremor in the dirt. A pressure shift in the air. Something crossing the outer boundary. Something stepping beneath the first charm. Someone. I stood and walked to the edge of the clearing. I saw them immediately. Young, clean, carrying too much gear. Moving like the forest wasn't watching them yet. They stopped when they saw me. Hesitated, nervous, tired. Just like I had. They looked past me to the fire, then back to me. They didn't speak. Neither did I. Instead, I turned, walked slowly to the stones, sat down beside the fire, gestured to the other side. They followed. They always do. They sat. The fire crackled. The forest leaned in, and I began, not with words, just with silence, the kind that teaches. Tonight, they'll stare too long into the flames. Tomorrow, they'll hear their names in the trees. By the third night, they'll find the tower. By the fifth, they'll be opened. And when the seam splits again, they'll understand. The forest doesn't consume you. It becomes you. And once it has your voice, it's time to speak again. Welcome to Firewatch 66. Legends, I hope you enjoyed Firewatch 66, The Ranger's Tale. I'm going to do a bit of a summary and an explanation of the story, just in case some of you legends might be a bit lost, as it were, in the trees. So first, I'll explore this story's themes as follows. The loss of identity. At its core, the story is about erasure, not by force, but by absorption. The protagonist doesn't get killed, possessed, or simply haunted. They are rewritten slowly, assimilated. Their voice, memories, thoughts, and even physical traits are taken from them and echoed in the forest. You are not a person. You are a place. They become part of the ecosystem. Firewatch 66 doesn't guard against something. It is the thing. The next theme is nature as an entity. The forest is not just background, it's sentient, invasive, and ancient. It has a will of its own, one that predates language or form. It doesn't hate you, it doesn't want you, it wants to wear you. Like clothing that helps it move in the world. The bones, the silence, the seamless transitions all point to a nature that isn't wild but engineered. Something planted, something waiting. The third theme is doubling and reflection. The other me motive serves as the most haunting psychological horror. The forest doesn't just consume you, it replaces you, it learns you. When the narrator sees his own face in the thing that emerges from the fire, it completes the theme. Firewatch 66 doesn't kill people, it recycles them. Reforms them. And lastly, cyclic horror, or, you know, institutional doom. The job is a loop. There's always one ranger. That ranger is always being digested, as it were. The forest has done this before. We'll do it again. And at the end, when the new ranger arrives, the cycle resets. This reflects cosmic horror's reoccurring idea that your role was never to win, escape, or to understand, only to play your part. The seam opens. The seam is the symbolic and literal breach between reality and the forest's hidden intelligence. When the ranger, what remains of him, opens it, it reveals the truth. The narrator was never an outsider. They were being grown. Their transformation wasn't an attack. It was a fulfillment. There's also the idea of transfer. The protagonist has lost their name, their purpose, their independence. They've become the new voice of the forest. The fire's keeper. They no longer are hunted. They are the hunter's call, the vocal piece of the forest. The cycle begins again when a new person enters the woods. The symbol of the fire. The fire is more than light, it's a vessel. It doesn't warm, it watches, it records, reflects, and reshapes. Staring too long into it is staring into the forest's memory of you. It learns from you, a conduit, a channel, to become you. When the narrator starts their own second fire, it marks their final step. They are ready to become the next ranger. And the final message? The horror in Welcome to Firewatch 66 is not a monster, it is inevitability. It is being watched by something older than form, and it is the realization that the only way to survive is to become part of it. Again, legends, thank you so, so much for listening. And that wraps up tonight's tale, dear listeners. Whether you're listening under the covers, alone in your car, or staring too long into a dark forest and not the fire, thank you for joining me on Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales. If you've enjoyed tonight's episode and want to keep the campfire burning, head on over to iTunes and drop a review. The algorithm demons are always hungry. Feeling extra ghostly generous as well, you can support the show on Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/SFGT, where the brave get bonus content via Patreon posts, early access, the right to vote, and the warm, smug feeling of keeping the darkness alive. You can also find me haunting SoundCloud, and of course always lurking over at the official website www.storiesfablesghostlytales.com. And again, thank you so much for listening. I do now want to thank my wonderful Patreons, my Ode Night Tea Titan, White Tea Warlords, and El Grey Enforcers, plus Tears Thereafter. First up is my legendary out-of-this-world supporter and friend, Matto Star, my Ode Night Tea Titan tier. I've got to give a thunderous, firecrackling thank you to a true force of storytelling, kindness, and nature, Matto Star. Matto, if this tale of fire-watching madness and forest-bound identity horror had a real hero, it'd be you. Keeping the fire lit and explosive, the boundary lines intact, and the voices from the trees just a little quieter. You're the one making sure the stories don't end at the clearing, and that the next ranger always has a tale to fear. I mean, share. So, from the shadowed edge of Firewatch 66, with embers in the air and the forest holding its breath, thank you, Matto Star, for fueling the fire and supporting me. Just remember, if you ever hear your own voice in the woods, don't answer. We need you back here for the next episode, Matto. Have an amazing week ahead, legend. And keep an eye out for for my next email. Cheers, you superstar. And my next shout-outs are for my white tea warlords. First up is Lesosaurus Rex. A massive muscle ripple and thank you to Lesosaurus Rex, a powerhouse supporter who could probably bench press the entire Firewatch 66 tower, haunted bones and all. While the rest of us are being unmade by the forest seams and whispering fires, Les is out there deadlifting demons and making the darkness sweat. Thank you for flexing your support and keeping the story strong here at Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales. You are the barbell in a forest full of bones. Never stop lifting. I hope you're having a great gym sesh. Cheers, Leza, for being my pal and supporter. You are wonderful. Have a great week ahead of yourself, mate. And now, a deep reverent bow to Maya, the undisputed queen of cats, feline monarch of the forest shadows, and patron of all things purring and paranormal. While the trees whisper and the fire hisses, Maya's brood of otherworldly whiskered watchers keep vigil at the edge of the clearing, tails flicking in unison. Your support is as graceful as a midnight prowl and as powerful as 1,000 glowing eyes in the dark. Thank you, Maya, for ruling the night and backing me, the quiet command of a true cat queen. Long may you reign, and may no forest ever dare whisper your pertastic name. Thank you, Maya, for your amazing support, and have yourself a fantastic week ahead. And for my final white tea warlord, my thanks to Sangeetha Sagar, the oracle of the unknown, interpreter of whispers, and patron of the uncanny. While others lose themselves in the forest's illusions and bend their minds to the madness, she sees through it all. The shifting firelight, the voices that mimic, the truths behind the seams. Sangeetha, your support is more than generous. It was foretold in the flickering flame, etched in the bark, whispered by winds that never touched the ground. Thank you for lending your sight to Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, and for keeping our path lit as we walk deeper into the dark. Thank you so much, Sangeetha. Have a fantastic week ahead. Cheers for being a brilliant pal. A huge thank you to my old Night Tea Titan and my White Tea Warlords. And now, I want to share my thanks to my Earl Grey Enforcers and thereafter. I am lucky to have Chad Warren, Divided by Zero, Juicebox Andy, Just Heather, Paige Kramer, Peter Raffaelli, Seductive Smiles, Jane Gumnick, Michael Krupp, and Rhonda Ray. Thank you so much for your support. And as always, my friends and tale tellers to the end, until next we meet.
Through steps were made.